Well, the song of the year in 1977, the song that won the Grammy, went something like this. I've been alive forever, and I wrote the very first song. I put the words and melodies together. I am music, and I write the songs. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs. I write the songs. And if you were alive in the 1970s, most of you were, some of you weren't, and you listened to the radio, then you probably can recall that song sung by Barry Manilow. It's interesting to know that Barry did not write "I Write the Songs," isn't that? But a man named Bruce Johnston actually wrote that song. And supposedly, according to Bruce, that word "I" in the song was not referring to him, but was referring to God. Now, I don't know why God would want to make the young girls cry, but nevertheless, I think what the point of that song was is songs have a way of impacting our lives, don't they? When you think of some of the songs that you know, or maybe you've known in years past, and as you go through certain experiences in your life, they often can hit us places that just words can't do outside of that. Well, what does all this have to do with the life of Moses? Well, Moses was a songwriter as well. And let's look at his song. If you'd open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. Last week, just a quick review, we saw where Israel was between a rock and a hard place. They had the Egyptian army coming at them, and behind them was the Red Sea. There was no way of escape. They were crying out, they were whining and complaining, and Moses said to the people, "Hey, just be still, be silent. Don't say a word. The Lord will fight for you." And that is exactly what the Lord did. He did indeed fight for Israel. We heard in our scripture reading today, the end of Exodus 14, even the Egyptians realized that the Lord was fighting for Israel in that moment as the waters came upon Pharaoh and the Egyptian army and everyone drowned. And so after that mighty move of God, Moses and the people, they begin to celebrate. They begin to sing. Let's look at what they sing. Exodus 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18. It says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, 'I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them.' But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until you pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Can I get an amen after that song? That is a really, really good song. We're going to highlight this song today. We're not going to be able to cover every verse. It's a very long passage, a long song. But before we get into some highlights, I just want to remind you that this is a song. I don't know what the tempo was. I don't know what key it was sang in back then. But we need to be reminded that this was a song, and there are many songs in the Bible. And again, as I said, songs have a way of really reaching a place in our hearts and in our souls that if I just said those words, it may not be as impactful. Songs often do that. They tend to stir something within us. As I think back to my younger days, I can remember some times in my life where songs just kind of hit me. When I got dumped by my girlfriend, and the song "What About Me" by Moving Pictures came on the radio, I would crank that up and sing, "What about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough, now I want my share. Can't you see? You just take more than you give." And when I was working on my engine and my 71 Duster and it was all for naught, I came in, sat on my couch, had the radio going, and there's Phil Collins saying, "I don't care anymore." And it just hit me. I would lift weights to "Back in Black." Don't ask me why, but we just did that. I don't know what significance that was. But songs had a way of just hitting you at that moment, hitting your soul, hitting your heart. Because they tend to stick to us, we remember those songs. I can think back and still quote that song. Some of you are real good at quoting songs. Have you ever played the game Encore? You ever played that game Encore before? If you haven't, it's a fun game. I'd encourage you to do it. Even if you can't sing, basically this is the way the game goes. You pick a card. There's a word, a category. Let's say, for example, the word was great. And so me and my team, if I was on a team, we would sing, "Oh Lord my God, when I an awesome one consider all, and how great thou art." You have to sing 7 words of the song. And then it'd be your turn. And you would sing what? "How great is our God." Come on, sing with me. "How great is our God." And we would go back and forth until we couldn't think of any more songs that had the word "great" in it. It is fun. It's fun. And what you realize is that there's a lot of songs that are in your memory. It's hard to pull them out a lot of times. After the timer runs out, you're like, "Oh yeah, there was that one. But songs have a way of sticking, don't they? They have a way of sticking to us. And so that is why, as believers, it's so important that we seek to fill our minds with songs that will help us to grow closer to Christ and not pull us away from Christ. Now, if you're like me, you were raised in an era where you went to church. If you did go to church on Sunday, you sang the hymn. You sang hymns on Sunday. And you got home and you just turned the radio on the rest of the week and you just listened to popular radio. That's the way most of us probably were raised when it came to learning songs. And sadly, most of those songs did not help me at all in the spiritual sense. You know, there were songs that really often were self-centered. That's why I love that song, "What About Me?" And "I Don't Care Anymore," because it was all about me. And they didn't help me to know Christ or to look to Christ in any way. Most songs don't want to be legalistic about what you listen to. But I would say this to the younger people who are up there and down there. You live in such a great day as far as the good stuff that is out there that you can listen to. There's a lot of good stuff that will help you to grow closer to Christ. Great songs that will help you to grow in your walk with Christ. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay if you don't know what the top 10 Billboard charts are of the day. It's okay. You'll survive. You will. It's okay if you can't, you don't know the latest Katy Perry song and all the lyrics to it. In fact, after watching the Super Bowl halftime thing, you'd be better off knowing not, some of her songs you don't even want to listen to. You don't want to even know those things. There's a lot of good stuff. Fill your minds with good things that will help you to grow closer to Christ. And even if your friends don't know who people like Chris Tomlin or Jamie Grace or Lecrae or Broken Ground are, it's okay. It's okay. Because you know what you can do? You could actually introduce them to some of that music. And you know what may happen? It may change their life. You know how I know? Because once upon a time, when there were these things, I found it. You guys know what these are?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? I mean, the kids know that. A cassette, okay? My oldest sister gave me this cassette the summer before I went off to college. And I went off to college with a whole case full of cassettes. I had my boombox, I had detachable speakers, remember that? It was great, really cool. And I had my sticks and my Kansas, Boston Journey, I had my thing. And I had this one cassette. And it's really faded, but it's Petra, More Power to You. And when I went through a season of sin and just not following the Lord and just not knowing how to really be a follower and a disciple of Christ, let me tell you, these songs had a great impact on my life. Songs can do that in your life and in your friend's life as well. I'm not saying you need to burn all your non-Christian music. I'm not saying that. But I will say, ask yourself, when you listen to songs, does it help me to get closer to Christ, or does it just bring me into this kind of narcissistic attitude where it's all about me and selfishness and all those things and fuels my anger? Or does it help me to, was that me? I thought I muted my phone. Anyway, does it help me to look to God? Listen to what the Bible says about songs. Colossians 3, verse 16. It says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And then listen to the second half of this verse. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs like Petra, with gratitude in your heart to God. God knows that music has a way of doing something in our soul. It can help us spiritually. And so God says, you think about, you sing about, sing those songs that are going to glorify God. Well, let's go back to our passage and look at some of the lyrics of Moses and Company here. One thing we find is the word Lord mentioned 10 times in this passage. That is very significant because the focus is on God. Do you know what Moses could have done? He could have said, my hand, when my hand was stretched out over the waters. Oh, man, do we have it? They could have talked about how it could have been from a selfish kind of point of view, but all the focus was really on God in this song. So much of it was on what God did, not what they did. And so the first thing I want us to see is that God is exalted. Look at verse 1 again. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. What does it mean to exalt someone or something? Basically, it just means to raise. It means to lift up. So when we exalt God, we're putting God above us. And we're humbling ourselves before God when we exalt him. And this is what Moses and the people of Israel did. God, we want to exalt you because it was by your power that we crossed the Red Sea. This was not our doing. So God, we exalt you. We lift you up on high, and we need to continue to exalt God. And as sinners, there's always that temptation to want to exalt ourselves. It's just a natural thing that we are going to fight until we hit glory. There's a natural tendency for us to want human praise and exaltation, really to exalt ourselves. And whenever we seek the praise of men, we're going to be led down one of either two paths, either the path of pride or the path of depression. Why do I say that? Because if I want praise more than I want to see God get praise, and when I get the praise, then I'm puffed up that I got the praise. If I want the praise more than I want to see God get the praise, and I don't get the praise, and he gets it, then I'm pretty discouraged because he's getting it, I'm not getting it. We want God to get the praise. We want to exalt God. And as we do that, we will stay in that, what you call that sweet spot, where there's genuine joy. I think, Donna, you touched on that by saying, hey, just bless the Lord, right? Exalt the Lord. And when I do that, gee, my whole perspective changes on life. And I'm exalting and glorifying God. We can learn much from the opening line of this classic song. Number two, we see Moses sings about God's power. We see that Moses speaks of God drowning Pharaoh and the army in verse 4. And then in verse 6, he says, your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. And the power that is being spoken of here is the power to defeat the enemy or to defeat the foe. And so as believers, why should we sing? Because God has defeated our foe, hasn't he? What does Genesis 3 speak of? Oh, that serpent, oh, Satan, he may bruise the heel of the coming Christ, but Christ will crush his head. Christ has defeated our foe. Christ has defeated our enemy. And yet often the only enemy that we think of is people. Maybe someone has wronged us or sinned against us, and so we want revenge on them. And we look at them as a, quote, as an enemy. And yet, what does the Bible say? To do what? To love your enemies. To pray for them. It says, do not repay evil for evil, but actually overcome evil with good. Even relates to not just maybe those outside of the body of Christ who we may say, well, that's an enemy, but even inside the body of Christ, how we treat one another, how we are to love each other. We are to forgive in the same manner that Christ has forgiven us. That means if someone sins against me 3, 4, 7 times in a day, what did Jesus tell Peter? How many times should I forgive him, Lord? 7, is that good enough? What did Jesus say? No, 70 times 7. You ever try to think of that? Someone sinning against you that many times in one day, and you have to say, okay, you're forgiven, brother. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. I think most of us say about 3 times, and man, you better get your act together here. But how many times in one day do we sin against Christ? Probably more than 1, 2, 3. We could count a lot when we begin to look at our lives, and yet how much forgiveness does he pour out on us? A lot. We need to do the same. And so as we sing, we should sing about God's power over sin and over Satan. And you may say, gee, sometimes it feels like Satan and sin still have a lot of power over me. And the reality is, the truth is, that there is still sin that is present in our lives. Paul talks about that in Romans 7, right? How he battles his own flesh. He does things that he doesn't want to do. He doesn't do things that he wants to do, and so on. And Satan is still very real. He's very powerful. The Bible says what? He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He is a masquerader. He is a master deceiver. He's a twister of things. He's an accuser of the brethren. So yes, he is still working. He still has some power. Sin still has some power. But know this, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a day coming. There's a day coming when sin and Satan will have no power at all over us. Absolutely none. Big fat zero. None. When we get to glory. And that ought to make us sing. Because God is victorious. Because God has defeated our foe. Number three. We see that Moses and the Israelites sing about God's unfailing love. In verse 13, it says, "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed." Lest we think that God is just some impersonal force that likes to just flex his muscles and arbitrarily pour out his judgment and power just because he has the ability to do so. Lest we think that, let us be reminded that God loved Israel. He loved them. Listen to what Deuteronomy 7:7-8 says. And, sorry, I got to get there. I could turn around and read it. Deuteronomy 7:7-8. Says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." And so too, that was Israel. As we look at we who are in the body of Christ, we continually need to be reminded of the unfailing love of God. We need to keep on singing that song that many of us learned as we little ones. Jesus loves me, right? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And even more modern day songs by guys like David Crowder, who sings, "Oh, how he loves us." Let me read some of the words to that. Maybe I won't. Anyway, you read, you Google it, you look it up. I don't know what I did with my paper there, but anyway. "Oh, how he loves us" by Crowder. Google it, look it up, YouTube it, whatever you want to do there. It's a beautiful song, and the song talks about just bending beneath the weight of his mercy, and you're in the middle of a storm. It's like a hurricane here. And yet in that difficulty, David sensed the love of God. And so too, as you think about Israel, all that they had been through, they're between a rock and a hard place. And yet when they come out to the other side, they're singing the praises of God's unfailing love. And often when we go through those times of difficulty, when we get to the other side, we look back and say, "Oh God, how much you have loved me." It's a very real, personal, deep love. We need to know that God loves us. If we are in Christ, we need to know that. God has a faithful love. Moses uses the word unfailing here. Has the idea of loyal love, of a covenantal love, a love that will never fail, a love that was spoken of in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. And when we think about the love of God, that ought to make us sing. Number four, we need to sing about future glory. If we go back to Exodus 15, the end of that song, verses 17 and 18, it says, "You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you have made for your dwelling." And the context here is, Israel had been in Egypt. They had been enslaved for 430 years. And now God is bringing his people into the promised land that was promised to their forefathers, Abraham and those guys. And now it's finally coming to pass. And so they're looking forward to this future of being in the promised land. And as you read your Old Testament, you know they wouldn't get in there right away, right? Because of their disobedience, they'd spend 40 years wandering around in the wilderness before they actually get there. But there was this aspect to setting your sights on future glory in this song. And so we need to do the same. We need to be reminded of what is yet to come. Some have said that we shouldn't sing songs about heaven, you know, because we've got so much stuff to do right here on the earth. And I understand the sentiment. If all we do is sing songs about heaven and we don't, as we learn in Sunday school, meet needs and do different things like that, yeah, I understand that. But did you know that singing songs about heaven and what is to come will actually encourage you in the here and now, in the life that you're living? You see, the truth is we can easily get discouraged. Oh, there it is. There it is. Oh, how he loves us. Anyway, the truth is we can easily get discouraged if we don't keep reminding ourselves of the end of the story. And we've been given the end of the story, haven't we? We know the end of the story, don't we? We know that after all the sin and all the devastation, all the garbage, all the bad, all that's false, everything wicked that happens, it's going to end someday because Jesus wins. We know the end of the story. And because we know he wins, that ought to cause us to rejoice and to sing. And if you don't think Jesus wants you to think about the home to come, then ask yourself this: why would he ever say this to his disciples? Let's look at our final scripture for today. John 14, very familiar passage. But as Jesus would soon be going to the cross, and then, of course, he would rise and come back to the earth for a short time and then ascend to the Father. He knew he wouldn't be with the disciples in the body forever. And so what does he do? He encourages them with these words. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus there pointed his disciples to what was to come, future glory. And as you think about many of the songs that many of us have learned throughout our lifetimes, so many of those songs just speak of temporary things, don't they? I mean, everybody's working for the weekend. I mean, and that's all it is. It's just whatever happens in this life. And there's so much more to life than just the next weekend. There's so much more to life than the next vacation or the next Super Bowl or the next this or the next that. Because there is a next life for those who are in Christ. A place of glory. A place the Bible speaks of where there is no need of the sun, which we see very little of here in Western New York at this time of year. But there's no need of the sun because the glory of God lights up the place. And our focus is on Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain for our salvation so that we could spend eternity in this place of bliss and beauty and joy. And we need to be reminded of what is to come. And when we think about what is to come, that ought to make us sing. When you think about meeting Jesus face to face, does that make you sing? Let me ask you first, are you ready? Are you ready to meet? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you longing for that day when you will gaze upon him, you will see him face to face? Or is there any fear or unbelief in your heart today? For some, you know what they fear? They fear that there's things that they've done in their lives that can't be forgiven. Do you know where that thought comes from? Not from God, it comes from the devil. The master deceiver, because Christ is able to forgive any and all of your sins and my sins. And so remove that lie right away. Praise the Lord. Now what do you need to do? If Jesus can forgive all your sins, then you need to understand what he did. He bore your sins upon the tree. He paid the price. He was crucified for you. And knowing that he paid such a high price for sin, it ought to make us hate sin. And when we begin to hate sin, we're going to start loving Jesus. Have you done that? Have you embraced Christ? Have you turned from sin? And have you believed in him as the one who came to die and rise again to give you life? And I guarantee you this, once you truly believe in Christ, you put your faith in him, it'll be very hard not to sing about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this beautiful song that, Lord, you, Moses may have sung it with the Israelites, but Lord, you wrote it. God, it came from you. And so, Lord, as we look into this song and what you did in the lives of your people, Lord, there's so many things that we can take home today, and that is simply to exalt you, to praise you for your power, for your unfailing love, to remember that you reign forever and ever, that there is no one like you, God. God, I pray today that we would be people who sing songs to you, who sing songs that reflect what's in our hearts. And God, I pray that there would be genuine joy, genuine faith, genuine love in our hearts, so that that overflow is songs to you, because you've put a song in our heart, God. Oh, Lord, help us to continue to run this race. Help us to know, Lord, that you have defeated our foe. It's just a matter of time before all is completed, all is accomplished, Lord. And we thank you for this, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.